Hello, this is DJ Frederick. You found the Radio Thrift Shop, a home for cast-offs and treasures from the past century of recorded sound. Radio Thrift Shop is a work in progress. On any given week, you might hear folk, jazz, easy listening, indie music, forgotten 45s, and excursions deep into the musical archive. Welcome. The Thrift Shop is open for your listening pleasure. This is DJ Frederick broadcasting like it's 1969 here at the Radio Thrift Shop, celebrating cool jazz, dusty records, and cover songs. And yes, this evening's edition of the Radio Thrift Shop is all about cover songs. We started out there with the Gentrys and their cover of Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl. And we're doing radio old school here. I don't have an email, but I do have a Facebook group. So you can check out the Radio Thrift Shop on Facebook. And if you are a low-power FM station or a community radio station and you'd like to broadcast the Radio Thrift Shop, the program is archived at radioforall.net. That's radioforall.net. Let's drop the needle and dive into the covers.
In the wind, the answer is blowing. disappear, alone and still kind of shy, wishing you weren't so far away. Our love was so hard to find. The paisley window pane won't shine anymore, though it still remains by an open.
Sunshine Day with a cover of Wendy and Bonnie's The Paisley Window Pane. Before that, The Sheffields with Bob Dylan's Blowin' in the Wind from a 45 released in 1967. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You're listening to Homemade Homegrown Radio. It's the Radio Thrift Shop, and this is the Covers Edition.
Whenever it rains, the water in clouds must first freeze. But it turns out that cloud water is able to freeze at a higher temperature than pure water. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet.
The recipe for rain is that we need high humidity in clouds, so we need water. Then we need impurities around which the water can freeze. And then we need cold temperature.
That's Boris Wienatzer, an associate professor in the Department of Plant Pathology, Physiology, and Weed Science at Virginia Tech.
For a long time, atmospheric scientists wondered what are the impurities in clouds that allow water to freeze at the temperatures that we find in clouds. And there was a scientist in the early 1970s who thought these impurities may come from soil. He found that soil that was rich in decaying plant material allowed water to freeze at relatively high temperatures. But soil without decaying plant materials did not. So that was the first step in realizing maybe plants could be the source of some of the impurities in clouds that allow water to freeze there.
But then how do these soil impurities get up into the clouds?
When water evaporates from the ground, from a street, from plants, it takes bacteria with it. And that's really a big area of research that still needs to be explored.
We'll continue to explore the mysteries of rain in future programs, finding out what exactly in clouds gets water to freeze and how it works. Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner.
they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my open mind, possessing and caressing me.
Barbara Love with her covers of Beatles' Across the Universe. Before that, The Snowdrops featuring Pam Berry and a Tear for Fears cover, Mad World. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and you have stumbled into the covers version of the Radio Thrift Shop. We're going to check in now with Laura Erickson and an episode of For the Birds.
Just about every child wonders at some point how other species and even other humans perceive colors. Do a blue sky and white clouds look the same to everyone who isn't colorblind? Sure, we humans all have pretty much the same eye structure, but in the same way that a joke could be hilarious to one person but fall flat to an identical twin, maybe colors look different to different people too. I was pretty sure I had a good handle on color. I've always been able to appreciate the different shades of red in a scarlet tanager, northern cardinal, and ruby-throated hummingbird, and I love the lovely tropical green of a chestnut-sided warbler in autumn and the subtle shades of pinks and purples in a common grackle in full sunlight. But now that I've had one of my cataracts removed, I'm discovering that the colors I see are different through that eye with its crystal clear lens than through the eye still obscured with the cataract. I'll be getting the second eye done on Wednesday, but during this interim period, I can actually use the magic of Photoshop to make two copies of the same photo and use a color slider to show how the eye with the cataract sees the same thing. Meanwhile, last week, the British Ecological Society published a paper in Methods in Ecology and Evolution titled Quantitative Color Pattern Analysis, a comprehensive framework for the analysis of color patterns in nature. We humans and many primates are trichromatic, meaning we have three kinds of cones in our retinas, sensitive to red, blue, and green hues. Most mammals, including dogs and cats, are dichromatic, with just blue and green sensing cones in their eyes. Arctic reindeer have a special cone that detects the UV light that lichen emit. Bees are trichromatic but also pick up UV light. Many insects, fish, reptiles, and birds have four kinds of cones, and the mantis shrimp can have up to 16 kinds. Color perception is important for such essential tasks as detecting prey animals and vegetation types, noticing predators, and signaling their own kind for competitive, mating, or flocking purposes. To better understand the function of color signals in nature, the researchers developed quantitative analytic frameworks to estimate how animal and plant color patterns appear against natural backgrounds as viewed by ecologically relevant species. The program they developed takes a photo of how we see something and adds brilliant colors to the areas outside our own visual spectrum. Of course, they're restricted to using colors within the wavelengths we can see, so it's just a visual representation to help our understanding, not at all the way animals actually see the world. Our imaginations really are limited to the colors within our own spectrum. The photos they produced are brilliantly wonderful, but the popular press picking up those photos are saying, quote, "This is how birds see the world," and quote, "This software shows you exactly how different animals view the world," when it isn't. We have no idea what colors look like outside our own visual range. So although this wonderful work is important and cool, it simply does not show how birds see the world. Until we humans can evolve retinas with more kinds of cone cells, the colors birds and other animals see will ever remain a mystery to us mere humans. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.
You found the Dusty Grooves here at the Radio Thrift Shop with DJ Frederick.
Light. Yeah. your life. For self to know.
Home and a family, she won't be coming back without love.
kind of a soul lounge version of Long Train Runnin' with Bob and Sheree. And before that, a cover of Bruce Coburn's Lord of the Starfields by Ron Fowler and Dave Park. Well, this is DJ Frederick. You have found the Radio Thrift Shop. We're cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound. I'm here with you at WSCS every Saturday evening here in New London at 90.9 and online at classicalwscs.org.
Hi, I'm Jack R. Johnson, and this is Hidden Histories. On Monday, October 12th, the United States celebrated Columbus Day, the date of Christopher Columbus's arrival in the Americas. Conventionally viewed as a cause for celebration, historians such as Norman Solomon argue that Columbus Day, in fact, disguises the cruel deeds of aggressors and colonizers. He quotes extensively from Columbus's own logbook to prove his point. Here is Columbus's initial description of the Indians. Quote, "They would make fine servants. With 50 men, we could subjugate them all and make them do whatever we want." Unquote. In 1495, during the second voyage, Indians were transported to Spain as slaves, many dying en route. Of this event, Columbus wrote, "Let us, in the name of the Holy Trinity, go on sending all the slaves that can be sold." His actions were merely a prologue, though. The Spanish followed him and eagerly took slaves and slaughtered the Indians in brutal ways, sometimes beheading Indian boys just to test the sharpness of their blades. Typically, after discovering an island and encountering a tribe of Indians new to them, the Spaniards would read aloud in Spanish what came to be called the requirement. Here is one version. "I implore you to recognize the church as a lady, and in the name of the Pope, take the king as lord of this land and obey his mandates. If you do not, I will take your women and children and make them slaves. The deaths and injuries that you will receive from here on will be your own fault and not that of his majesty nor of the gentlemen that accompany me." For that reason, many countries in Latin America do not celebrate Columbus Day, but rather Dia de la Raza, Day of the Race, commemorating the first encounters of Europeans and Native Americans. Dia de la Raza in many countries is seen as a counter to Columbus Day and is used instead to celebrate indigenous culture. In 2002, in Venezuela, Chavez altered the name of the celebration yet again to the Dia de la Resistencia Indígena, Day of Indigenous Resistance. This is Jack R. Johnson for Hidden Histories. Thank you.
Mr. George Benson with his cover of Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit here on the Radio Thrift Shop. I'm DJ Frederick. If you're looking for more information about the Radio Thrift Shop, please feel free to join the Radio Thrift Shop group on Facebook. Just hunt for, you guessed it, the Radio Thrift Shop. Also, our programs are archived on radioforall.net, so if you don't hear us on WLSL or WMNB, or here on WSCS, just check us out at radioforall.net and hunt for, you guessed it, Radio Thrift Shop. And this is the cover tune version of the Radio Thrift Shop. Let's cruise on with Jay Berliner from his album Bananas Are Not Created Equal. This is Stormy. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. The tranquil song of the Kauai O'o graced the high-dense forests of Kauai until 1987, when it was heard no more. The voice of only one member of this family of birds, now all extinct, remains immortalized on tape. How is it that we're able to bring such poignant and significant sounds to you? Bird Note is licensed to air bird sounds from the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology in Ithaca, New York. The library maintains the largest collection of bird sounds in the world. These recordings give voice to more than two-thirds of the world's roughly 10,000 bird species. Some of the birds recorded are now extremely rare, or perhaps even extinct, like this Bachman's warbler, a former resident of the southeastern United States that hasn't been seen since 1988. Without these recordings, the song of the Bachman's warbler and the Kauai O'o would fade from memory. You'll find a link to the Macaulay Library at our website, birdnote.org.
And this is DJ Frederick. We're going to close out this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop with some cover tunes recorded by Bud Shank and Chet Baker from the LP Michelle, released on World Pacific Records back in 1965.
Thank you.
Three tunes from the 1965 LP by Bud Shank. Michelle, we heard covers of Blue on Blue, Turn, 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 and As Tears Go By. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and this is the Radio Thrift Shop. We're cruising up to 500-plus episodes of the Radio Thrift Shop since it debuted on WSCS back in 2011. And it was the successor to Seldom Heard Radio, which debuted on WSCS back in 1999. And coming up sometime in 2020, I have a new show called Gentle on My Mind, The Easy Listening Experience. So please stay tuned for that. Well, this is DJ Frederick wishing you many blessings. I do hope that you enjoyed the program. Remember, keep your radio real, keep your spirit free, and keep your mind at ease.